Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 10th day of March 2022. And I ask of you folks to immediately mark down on your calendars tomorrow, Friday, March 11th, we are having a return visit from Mykola Lelievsky live in Ukraine. He will be speaking to us live from Kyiv, Ukraine. He is a seminary professor at Grace Bible Seminary in Kyiv, and he's also on the leadership team at Grace Bible Church of Kyiv. And we are going to get an update from him, especially since his hometown of Irpin has been nearly obliterated by Russian airstrikes. Thankfully, our dear brother is alive and well still. Hopefully that will remain to be the case, but we are going to have him on tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for an update. So mark your calendars and tell your friends and loved ones. Today we have a guest I'm excited to interview. He comes by the highest recommendation of a very dear friend of mine whose opinion I highly value. That is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, well-known in reform circles as an author and a pastor at Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. And he told me that I've got to get Paul Abbott on the program, who is a Reformed Baptist evangelist and founder of Our Goodly Heritage Ministries. Today we're going to be addressing rescuing lost souls from damnation and the lives of infants from the slaughter mill in Reynosa, Mexico, near the McAllen, Texas border. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Paul Abbott.
Good afternoon.
It's great to have you on, brother, and tell us about Our Goodly Heritage.
Well, our ministry is primarily a gospel-centered ministry. Years ago, when the Lord brought me to the doctrines of grace out of a what we'd call a semi-Pelagian or Arminian-type background, we realized that the missing element in most churches, especially unreformed churches, was the gospel itself, the finished work of Christ. And so it is primarily a gospel-centered ministry, which reaches into, of course, the homes and the families and all out in the streets, bringing the gospel to places where the gospel is needed. The Lord has also allowed us to minister to abortion mills, the women who are coming in to murder their children, the men who are bringing the women in, and even the escorts, or we call them the death escorts, that work on the sidewalks, and the abortion doctors, so-called abortion murderers, that we would call them the murderers, and everyone that works in this industry, we are attempting to minister also to them by way of bringing them to their attention that they're violating the law of God. When the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, when the Bible says, God hates the hand to shed innocent blood, as well as the very fact that they need Christ. And so that would be sort of a nutshell as far as that goes.
Well, I want to give our listeners your website, and hopefully I'll remember to repeat it later as well, but it's OurGoodlyHeritage.com, and that's goodly, not godly, although it is godly. It's our GOODLY heritage.com. And while I'm at it, I'd like to give you the website of my dear friend, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, who, as I said just moments ago, pastors Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. And I look forward to my next visit from Dr. Moorcraft on this program as well. Well, we have a custom here, a tradition, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony that would include the upbringing that they had, something about the religious atmosphere, if any, in their upbringing, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And we'd like to hear your story. And by the way, I'd like to just add, because there were a couple of moments when you seemed to drift away from your phone or your microphone, please make sure your mouth is near the mouthpiece of whatever you're using at all times, because there were considerable dips in your volume for a couple of times when you were just speaking. So just to keep that in mind, brother.
All right. Well, as the Lord would have it, I was actually adopted from birth. In the Lord's time, I was able to reconnect with my biological father before he passed just this last year, as well as also I know who my biological mother is, but we don't have any contact yet, but we do. She knows that I exist, and I know who she is. But the Lord had me adopted into a home in Southern California. I was born in 1968, so my parents were Depression people. My father was a World War II veteran, so they were from a different age, a different generation. So I was definitely reared in a different type of home than my playmates, than my friends were, their parents being, you know, much younger and a different mindset. So the Lord, again, had me in a home that was a little more moral, more stable. My parents were married until they passed, almost 50 years. And I grew up, oddly enough, in a home where my mother was Seventh-day Adventist and pretty devout for the most of my childhood. What that did for me was it did give me a sense that we had some normality in going to church, even though they did not have the gospel. And they also used a Bible, so we also had a Bible around the house, and they did use the Bible, even though their doctrine was wrong. And so that kept me going a certain direction, and I was pretty dedicated to that until I went into high school. And in high school, the Christian school I ended up in had a very active youth ministry, and they kept me busy between the school and the youth ministry, even while I was a Seventh-day Adventist. And I did not know much about the gospel. I had made a profession in eighth grade, actually in a Seventh-day Adventist school before I went to the other Christian school. And in eighth grade, I profession only understanding just very little about the gospel. I would have to say that on that day, the only thing that happened was that I prayed a prayer, but there was nothing else to it at all. I did not understand sin, did not understand my standing before God, did not fully comprehend the finished work of Christ at all. I just knew I wanted to go to heaven. And when I got a little bit older and ended up in a Baptist church and in the youth group in that school, I began to realize there were some vast differences in doctrine. Even though I could not argue all the points against what I'd been brought up in, I did understand that there was some very vast biblical differences and that I was indeed being taught things that were not in Scripture. And so I left the Seventh-day Adventist Church to the great dismay of some of the church leaders and my family. And for the first year, I was tracked down by many family members trying to retrieve me and bring me back into the fold, as it were, even having an aunt come, and she offered to pay for me to go to a Seventh-day Adventist university as a way to sway me away. But when I graduated from high school, I was already preaching. I surrendered the call to preach, as it were. In fact, you mentioned Dr. Moorcraft. I'll just throw this in there. If you are any type of a preacher, pastor, missionary, evangelist, the first question he'll ask you is, tell me about your call to preach. And that's indeed, I did surrender to the gospel ministry, but yet to you that I did not know the Lord. I was on a gospel ride, a Baptist ride, so to speak. The system generates false professions, young men surrendering to preach, things like that, but not really knowing the Lord. And so I went forward in ministry, worked in ministry, traveled with a senior evangelist as a young man. And to jump ahead, it wasn't, Chris, until I was actually toward the end there, when I got out of pastoring my very first church, actually pastoring, I've been ordained, I've been laid hands on and sent out, and I was actually pastoring my first church when the Lord, I believe the Lord finally fell to me, and I was able to understand the gospel of Christ, and the Lord saved me. So it was a long ride to get there, but the Bible does say the goodness of God lead thee to repentance. And I don't know, I don't have all the answers of all those years, but I do know he did save me, and he did keep me in the ministry and kept me teaching me and showing me what I needed to know. And as I left that bad doctrine, that semi-Pelagian Arminian-type doctrine, and right at the moment when he saved me, that's when the doctrines of grace all made sense, and I was able to grasp on those and run with that.
Well, praise God for that. It takes some folks years of grappling before those precious doctrines sink in by God's grace and mercy and are lovingly embraced. It didn't take me years. I became a believer, and I had an Arminian mindset, although I didn't even know what an Arminian or a Calvinist was. But within a month of being born again, after fighting what I was hearing under the label Calvinism, I finally came to wave the white flag and embrace those wonderful teachings. First, reluctantly and unhappily acknowledging that they were true, but I was nonetheless not happy about that. But then, I would say in about a month, I just fell in love with those precious teachings, largely due to somebody giving me, of course, God using this, because it is God who saves, but somebody, a dear friend, gave me George Whitfield's letter to John Wesley on election, a Chapel Library publication, and I read that, and the Lord really opened my eyes to those glorious truths known as the doctrines of sovereign grace and Reformed theology and Calvinism.
Yes, absolutely, and I would say the same with me is that I fought it tooth and nail. I studied books that were against Calvinism, as we'd call it, and I wanted to believe it was wrong. I wanted to believe the people that I trusted that they were right. But unfortunately, the more I studied, the more I not just studied Calvinism, but the more I studied the arguments against it, I could not find enough logic and enough Bible to back up their claims. And so I began to study further, and it was like you, I got to the place where I had to surrender. And I had many influences coming from different directions, different ministries, and finally, I believe if there was a book that finally put me over the edge, it would have been A.W. Pink's The Sovereignty of God.
Yes.
It didn't take much of the book at all. I knew while I was reading the beginning of the book, I knew I already agreed with him. I pretended not to agree with him. I could still read the book and be mad about it. But it is a great surrender. And it changes everything about the ministry. We have spent thousands of hours pleading with people to accept Jesus in their heart, putting all the burden upon our shoulder, our work, our salesmanship, our technique, our methodology, and all the while not understanding that salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
And that takes everything off of us. Yes, we're to be obedient. Yes, we are to witness and to preach. But we come to a place where we realize that this is the Lord's work. It changes everything about the preacher and the witness.
Amen. And just to clarify something about my own coming to understand and embrace Reformed theology, it was not George Whitefield that convinced me. It was George Whitefield's biblical evidence. He had so much scripture to overcome John Wesley's objections that it was used of God to convince me. And a lot of anti-Calvinists will say that the Bible would never convince anyone of the doctrines of grace, and that it can only come through some deceitful man using his own words and so on. Well, I didn't even know at that time who George Whitefield was. The booklet I was reading, I didn't know who Whitefield was. I didn't know who John Wesley was. I didn't know who John Calvin was, and I didn't know who Charles Spurgeon was. But it was the biblical evidence that Whitefield used that made me bow the knee to the truths. And as I said, instinctively, it was something that shocked me and depressed me, acknowledging that it was true. But then I fell in love with them, head over heels.
Well, yes, and it's interesting you made a point, because the very people that tell us that the Bible would never give you Calvinism, those very people that tell us we can trust every word of Scripture, but yet their Scriptures are filtered through dispensational systems, through other types of understanding, presuppositions that take you to the Bible. So when you begin to read the clear Scripture, you're already convoluted. You've already been contaminated. And so when I've helped some other pastors, and the Lord's allowed this to happen, it's just a blessing. But when I've been able to help younger men with this doctrine without making them read difficult books and being complicated with the method, with the terminology, I would usually tell them something like this. The first question I ask them is this: when you understand what a dead man can do, everything else will make sense. That's the very first thing I tell them. And then I tell them, go back, start reading the Scriptures, just sort of page through the highlights of Scripture, and you start looking at who does the choosing. Start finding out who's the one that's making things happen. Who's the first cause? Who's creating the event? And when you get in the New Testament, just read the words as they're written. Don't try to create things that are not there. And it's amazing, with just that very simple advice, how many times now we've seen some men all of a sudden begin to have the lights turned on, and suddenly now they begin to read Reformed literature. They begin to read Pink or someone else, and it begins to make sense to them. And again, like you mentioned, men like Pink, what they simply do is they bring the Scripture out, and they'll still explain the Scripture. And usually it's just a plain written Scripture that brings you to the doctrines of grace.
In fact, I know two pastors who came to the doctrines of grace through reading A.W. Pink's book, and they both had as a part of their testimony that when they were midway through The Sovereignty of God by A.W. Pink, they threw the book across the room, and then curiosity later got the better of them, and they crawled underneath their beds to retrieve the book and finish it. It was like two different people had the same story, and they finally surrendered to the truth that is in there. And what glorious truths.
When you have Dr. Moorcraft on next time, ask him about A.W. Pink, because he is another one that book also put him over the top.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, for some reason I don't recall that as a part of his story, but I'm looking forward to having him remind us of that. That's great news. I really appreciate how Dr. Moorcraft, although being a staunch Presbyterian, has a great love for us Reformed Baptists, and even has you fill his pulpit on occasion, does he not?
Oh, yes. I've been blessed to fill his pulpit for him on several occasions. In fact, he had mentioned, he goes, "I can't wait to leave town again so you can come and preach."
Well, I just must have you on to discuss the recent events that, in fact, Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia,
yes,
actually helped to fund this event, where you went to Reynosa, Mexico, just near the McAllen-Texas border, to evangelize. And tell us about why, first of all, you had a heart burdened to reach those folks there in Reynosa.
Well, let me tell you the story. I believe it was in November. My son was bringing me home from the airport. I'd been preaching or been out of town. And I got a phone call that evening from Dr. Moorcraft. We do speak regularly, but it was an odd time for him to be calling, and I just had a feeling he had something he wanted to talk about. And he asked me what I knew about the immigrant or migrant situation on the Mexican-American borders, whether that would be Matamoros, Reynosa, Juarez, Tijuana. He wanted to know if I knew something about that. I said I did. He asked me if I spoke Spanish, and I said, no, I don't. Just a few words, but nothing usable. And he said, I'm burdened. And with tears in his voice, he said, I'm burdened for the thousands of souls that are mounted up there that need to hear the gospel. And in his words, and I'll try to paraphrase this to make it a little bit not so complimentary, I guess. But he said, "When I think of sending someone there with the gospel, he thought of me," is what he said, and he wanted to know if I would go and bring the gospel to that place. And so the very first thing I told him was, "Dr. Moorcraft," I said, "this is actually an answer to prayer." I said, "Over 20 years ago, I thought about these things, and I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we had a team that was sort of on the ready, that within 30 days, if we needed to mobilize, to go to a place like Mexico, to go to some place where migrants have fled a country because of war or hurricane or flood or whatever it might be, because you have a captive audience. You have people there that aren't distracted by the internet and by television and all these different things." And I thought, wouldn't that be amazing to go in there with a little bit of help and also bring the gospel? And I told him, "I will pray about it. I'll check a few things and I'll call you tomorrow." And so I went online that night. I checked the border situation as far as the COVID requirements and how easy it would be to be able to go across the border and come back from the border, that type of thing. And that's all I really needed to know. I talked to my family about it. I called my very good friend, Pastor Max Graves Jr., in California. And he was the only other man besides my son who I would have thought to bring along. And Pastor Graves and his son and my son, the four of us, we had to have men. I'll just break the story here, but Chris, we had to have men that I knew we were on the same page with the doctrines of grace and the Bible. I had to have men that were not afraid. I knew we were going into places where the cartel has power. They have more guns and more men than the local police. At night they kill people at night. They kidnap people. We just needed to make sure whoever went was not fearful, was not someone we had to worry about. So Pastor Graves and I, his son, my son, immediately we said, yes, we can do this together. And I called Pastor Moorcraft the very next day, and I said, we are ready to go. He said, I told him, we're not worried about the danger and all that. That's no pretend. I said, the Apostle Paul speaks much worse than that. I said, we're going to try and find a church in Mexico that would work with us so we can have someone directly there. But when it's all said and done, our plan is to bring the gospel. And so we did homework. We did a little research. We initially thought we were going to go to Matamoros, but things in Mexico moved very quickly, and many of the camps had moved. There were thousands of people there. They had moved on. We could not get a good contact, and I was able to get some references, and we found Pastor Alban Banda, who's on my Facebook page, Alban Banda, wonderful man. From Mexico. He was ordained at the Christ the King Church. I believe that's the name of it. I get it a little mixed up there in McAllen. And he works out of that church as a missionary. We contacted him. It was amazing that he immediately thought this was a great idea. I explained to him our intention was to come and work the daylight hours as much as we could work in the daytime, bringing the gospel to the camps, whatever camps we could find, whatever people we could find, and just spend as much time as we could till sunset. We believed that it would not be prudent to be out at night, to be working out there because of the danger. And so immediately he was for that. Immediately he knew he would be our interpreter, and he would also be preaching, you know, all of our messages, so we'd be quite a bit of work on him. He volunteered to do that. We did bless him at the end of the trip to make his time worthwhile, but he did not ask for anything at all. We were able to contact Chapel Library there in Pensacola, Florida. They gave us thousands of tracts. I handpicked the tracts. I went through the tracts specifically looking for Spanish tracts that would be useful in this setting. And so we got several thousand tracts from Chapel Library and some other literature from them. So they gave all that to us. We had a few other men donate some technology for us. We had portable speakers, sound systems, amplifiers, and some other equipment that we needed. And then, of course, Heritage Presbyterian Church, they took care of all the needs that we had. So everything we needed, we had it. We stayed on the Texas side. We decided that early, that we would sleep in the United States. That way we would have a place of safety, a little bit safer. We didn't have to worry about sleeping. We didn't have to worry about being followed, that type of thing. And so we were able to get very inexpensive accommodations as an Airbnb over the border. So we had that. So we planned on going for 1 week. It ended up being to Reynosa, which is where Pastor Alban Banda is. And we flew, Paul and I flew to McAllen. Pastor Graves and his son drove to McAllen. We praise the Lord for his church, who is swiftly moving in the direction of Reformed doctrine and the doctrine of grace, and his church was very much behind him making this trip. So they took care of his needs, so he didn't have, as far as I know, any real out-of-pocket expenses. He was able to come there. We stayed there in our lodging. We met on the Monday night of the 21st of February. We had devotions every single day. One of us gave a devotion. We had prayer meetings every day, prayed many times a day. As we drove into from Texas to Mexico every morning, I had my son Paul read us a psalm of victory, a psalm that would remind us that Christ is King, and that no matter where the heathen might be, United States, Mexico, or anywhere else, that they'll be put under his feet, and that we had promises of Scripture. And so we went into the border with that daily. We did find one camp that was a large camp of at least 2,500 people, hundreds of children, right inside the border. We spent the majority of our time at that camp. We got to preach over and over again to different areas in the camp. We were able to bring a little bit of relief to the people there. We had when we got there, the weather was very hot. And so we got there, we brought some water bottles in, and it was amazing how a simple thing like a water bottle means so much to people that have nothing. Now, let me just be clear. The people that we minister to at the camp, these are people from Guatemala, El Salvador, from Honduras, and from Haiti. They are all there legally, they've come legally to go over the border into the United States legally. They're waiting for their paperwork. Sometimes if they have a lawyer, it's a quick situation, but without a lawyer, it's a very long situation. And so many of the people have been there almost a year or less, close to it. So we came in there bringing water on one day and preaching the gospel, bringing some toiletry items. There were several hundred baggies that Pastor Graves Church has assembled with simple things like toothpaste and toothbrushes. And it's amazing when you give out those bags and you see half a dozen people brushing their teeth just moments after you give this to them. So they understood that we didn't need anything from them. We came to bring them something, and immediately we preached the gospel. We would sometimes have 50 people visible that were actually there listening to us preach. We gave away blankets later in the week as the weather got cold. We gave away socks. When we gave away socks and blankets, Chris, you'd have thought we were giving them diamond rings. The blankets
were
treasured. The socks were treasured. You know, there's a difference between homeless people in some of these countries and homeless people in the United States. I've worked with homeless for years, and in the big cities, most homeless people, if they have a need, there's places to go and get simple items if they need them, and the different churches and the different programs. But in these places, there is almost no relief. So whether it's just something like a blanket or the socks, it was just amazing to see them take these things. They didn't just add it to their pile for the most part. These are things that they needed. And so we were able to bring that to them and witness to them. We witnessed to groups of them. We witnessed to some individuals. We were able to also even make a little bit of friends on Facebook with some. Some of these stories, I'll just tell you, some of these things, the news media misrepresents so much of what goes on. There is a family there right now I'm thinking of that... they live in El Salvador. Now they're in this camp with nothing. We became friends on Facebook, and I saw their life on Facebook. I could see how they lived. They had cars. They had houses. They had a life in El Salvador. And I asked them, I said, why are you here? What are you doing here when you had this wonderful life before? And they told me the story, and I watched all the family members as the man told me the story by way of interpreter. And I could see by the looks on the family, they were reliving this story. And the story goes something like this. This man was a professional clown in El Salvador. As funny as that is, but he was. He was a professional clown. He made a living doing parties and that type of thing. And when COVID came, it shut his clown business down. They couldn't have parties. You couldn't have different types of fellowships. So his business was shut down. So he and his family started a restaurant-type business there in El Salvador. And it got very successful right away, selling the food there. But soon after they got started, and we're already up and running in Seattle, just like Mexico, cartel stepped in. And the cartel, I don't know if they paid them any money at first or not, but after a time, they began to realize that they didn't want to pay the cartel any money, and the cartel wanted their money. So this man was kidnapped by the cartel, which is a story we've heard many times now.
Wow.
He was kidnapped for 7 days. I've met his family. There's several different children and grown children. And
brother, are you there? You keep ducking away.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They told him, these are the names of your two girls. And they go to a certain school, and they told him the name of the school. They told him the name of the girls. And they said, if you don't pay us the money, we're going to bring them here and abuse them and kill them right here in front of your eyes. So they let him go after 7 days, and he and his wife went out, began to sell most everything they had, and they gave money to the cartel enough where they'd leave them alone, and then they took the rest that they had, and they fled for their life. And they left El Salvador. So I asked them, why don't you go back to El Salvador? And they said, we can't go back. We go back, the cartel runs everything. They are all over the country. They said, we fear for our life. And so we're trying to tell our story and go into Houston, Texas, and start a new life there, start a business there, and work, and very much people of integrity and people that have ambition. And so that's their story. And there's many others that have similar type of stories. Now, while we were in Reynosa, while we were preaching and witnessing in all these different places, we also went to a shopping area every evening or late afternoon where literally 1,000 people could walk by just a short amount of time. So in the United States, it's very difficult to bring an amplifier into the middle of a shopping district and just preach.
And in fact, can you pick up on the shopping center when we come back from our first break?
We'll do it.
And if anybody has any questions for our guest today, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Paul Abbott, a Reformed Baptist evangelist and founder of Our Goodly Heritage, with more of his theme today, Rescuing Lost Souls from Damnation and the Lives of Infants from the Slaughter Mill in Reynosa, Mexico, near the McAllen, Texas border. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Corum, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school, and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the entire 2 hours today is Paul Abbott, a Reformed Baptist evangelist and founder of Our Goodly Heritage. We are discussing rescuing lost souls from damnation and the lives of infants from the slaughter mill in Reynosa, Mexico, near the McAllen, Texas border. And if you have a question, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state of residence and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And right before the break, you were talking about a more populated area where you were going to be doing some evangelism.
Yes. So in Reynosa, let me just clarify, I didn't make a misstep here earlier. The church in Reynosa, Iglesia del Rey in Reynosa, which is Church of the King, Reynosa, is a church that's come out of the Church of the King in McAllen. In fact, I heard Gary DeMar's name mentioned in the commercial, and Gary DeMar just spoke recently there at the Church of McAllen.
Oh, praise God.
in McAllen. So they have some connections there. So Reynosa has an old-fashioned shopping center that people walk through, and it's outside. And we don't have as many in America as we used to have beside these strip malls. Well, hundreds of people walk through there, and usually about 1,000 people will get there within, I don't know, 30 minutes, perhaps an hour. There'll be a lot of people that go back and forth through that shopping area. It's very long. I'm not sure how long the shopping area is. It might be a sixth of a mile. I'm not sure, but very long. And so we walked through there and took segment by segment. Every time we got to like an alley or a little driveway, we'd stop and preach. And people took our literature. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because they took our literature. They wanted the tracts. They stopped their cars to get the literature from us. And someone told me it could be one reason is because they sense that the charismatics and the Roman Catholics want something from them. We wanted nothing. We just wanted to be able to give them the gospel. We wanted to be able to give the folks at the camp some type of relief and show them some love, the love of Christ. And in the shopping area, we were there several times. And finally, on the very last day, before Sunday, the very last day that we were able to minister, our wonderful interpreter finally gave out. And so he could not go on. He was about spent. And so I said, well, let's go back to the shopping area, and we'll pass out some more literature, because, again, there's hundreds and hundreds of people walking by. And then when we got there, I suited up, ready to preach, and I told him, I said, don't worry. I said, we're just going to go ahead and preach in English. And I said, let's not worry about the interpreter. And so that's what we did. And so I preached in English, did all I could to preach against the cartel and the evilness and the vileness of the city. And there are some people that understand English because they stopped and told us, does this man know he's preaching in English? We said, yes, he does. So we went in to preach anyway and got to finish out our time there. There were other areas that had migrants, we call them. There's some camps that are protected. You can't get in them, but by permission. It was very, very difficult in very bad parts of town. But we could not get in to preach. We did try. We were foiled each time. But on the way back from one of those areas, our interpreter, and I clarified this the next day to make sure I understood, he was convinced we were being followed by the cartel. It was a vehicle that matched all the descriptions of the type of vehicle they used. They followed us through twists and turns in the city. And finally, when we got back to the large camp where we had been ministering, the truck pulled off and went a different direction. Now, I don't know what they were looking for. We had California plates. Perhaps they thought we were a rival gang or maybe Fed or something like that. But that's the only real connection we had with the cartel. The police did not give us any problems at all. But to show you what happens when the gospel comes, things had been pretty quiet in Reynosa for about a month, I was told. But after we got there and began to minister, every night it seems like something happened. One night, we were told, it was reported to us, that 10 people were killed in Reynosa.
Wow.
We were also told that two different law enforcement men, or the perhaps National Guardsmen, were kidnapped from their homes by the cartel. When I got to the camp one morning, they showed me a spent bullet, not the casing, but the bullet. They showed it to me, and they said, this fell in the camp last night. So things broke loose that week when we were there. And again, we never were a part of any of that, never got to be subjected to that. But there was much violence going on, even as much as a small little town outside of Reynosa, where it was reported to us that the cartel set large trailers on fire, blocking the road so the police could not get in to the town. So just amazing violence and lawlessness that happens there. Of course, you see SWAT teams driving around and that type of thing. But the gospel was not deterred in any way. The Lord protected us. We were bathed in prayer. We had folks praying around the country for this trip, that we would have discernment on the ground, that we would make good decisions on the fly. We told our team, we said, if you have an idea or if you have a trepidation about something, please share it. Just tell us the idea or tell us what you're thinking. We don't want to miss something just in case. We don't want to make a mistake. And so people had the freedom to do that. And, again, we had a very busy schedule, but it was just amazing. We got to spend time with the people. We got to give the gospel to them. And as an aside to that, Chris, in McAllen, Texas, there is an abortion mill there. Now, the abortion mill that's there in McAllen is a part of a network of other mills in Texas. Because of some of the incremental laws they have passed in Texas, which really have convoluted the abortion argument and caused great confusion, because the only way to stop murder is to outlaw murder.
Right.
This abortion mill has decided, we understand, to give free abortions to any woman. And so that means that if you are a woman who's pregnant of any age, you just come to this abortion mill and they will give you a free abortion. So a couple of mornings when the weather was very cold, at least for Texas, low 40s, high 30s, low 40s, we knew that the camps would be pretty quiet. So we went to the abortion mill and preached outside the abortion mill, sang outside the abortion. We sang all week. We sang at the camp. We sang at the abortion. We bring our psalters and we sing the psalms there to the people. And so we were able to minister at the abortion mill as well. And then, of course, in Reynosa, got to do that. Now, that Sunday in Reynosa, Pastor Alban Banda, again, at his church, we were able to go and minister there on that Sunday. He wanted us to sing the psalms to his people there at the Iglesia del Rey in Reynosa, Church of the King in Reynosa. And then I was able to preach the gospel to his congregation there with our team present. Had wonderful fellowship with those Christians, wonderful day. On the Lord's Day on Sunday. And then finally we said our goodbyes on the 27th of February. And then the next day, the 28th, Pastor Graves and his son headed back to California. And then Paul and I flew back for home here in Alabama.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break because they are required by the FCC to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida through their public service announcements and other local things that they air. And while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Not only write down questions for Paul Abbott of Our Goodly Heritage, but also write down as much of the information from our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. Even if you can't purchase anything that they are selling or use their services or visit their churches or support their parachurch organizations, even when you can't do those things, please, at the very least, if you love this show, respond to our advertisers and say thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That will go a long way to keep our advertisers happy, knowing that they are doing something that is blessing the hearts, minds, and souls of many people. And we rely 100% on our advertisers and our benefactors to exist, other than, of course, the grace of God. So therefore, if you really love the show, please thank our advertisers so that they will even want to continue to advertise. And send in those emails to Paul Abbott, to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice. I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. 7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Patafuco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfuco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget how vital solid-ground-books.com is to the existence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are one of our primary advertisers, and if they were to ever cease advertising with us, we would likely be forced to go off the air, barring a financial miracle from God. So please visit solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously. And keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by making one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they reprint and also publish nothing but the very finest in Reformed Christian literature, dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com for all of your gift-giving needs for Easter and for Mother's Day and for Father's Day and for wedding anniversaries and birthdays. and condolence gifts for those who have lost loved ones, for baptism celebrations, and any other reason that you purchase gifts, go to solid-ground-books.com. And don't forget to edify yourself by replenishing your own library with the finest in Christian literature from solid-ground-books.com. Always mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when placing an order. Before we return to Paul Abbott of Our Goodly Heritage and his discussion on evangelizing in Reynosa, Mexico, we have some important announcements. If you love this show, folks, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer sending in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail through your local postal service, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen as well when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. And please, folks, never give your own church less than you are accustomed to giving them in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait a while before you give when you're back on your feet, because those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture. But if you really love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to support church and family, then we urge you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and give frequently and generously. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, a church that is Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally pure, and a truly faithful church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church. I've already helped many people spanning the globe find a church near them, sometimes even within minutes of their own home, who have sent emails to me requesting help in this area. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that goes for those of you who have friends, family, and loved ones as well, who are in need of a biblically faithful church in all parts of the world. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. Last but not least, if you are a man in ministry leadership, whether it be a pastor, an elder, and by the way, I think that those are the same office, a deacon, a parachurch leader, whatever leadership position you hold in a local church, or a parachurch organization, we invite you to the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon, which will be held at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, about 20 minutes from Carlisle, Pennsylvania. That will be Thursday, April 7th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. As I said, it's absolutely free of charge. And this time, our guest speaker will be Daniel P. Buttafuoco, who is the founder of the Historical Bible Society. You hear the ads for the Historical Bible Society in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio every day. And Dan not only will give a lecture on how we received our Bibles in the English language from the original languages of the first manuscripts, he will also have on display a very rare and priceless collection of Bibles and Christian books of antiquity and historical significance that you can see, including a first edition 1611 King James Bible, a first edition Fox's Book of Martyrs, complete with illustrations, and a page, from the first book ever printed, the Gutenberg Bible, and many other books will be on display that you could see from the Historical Bible Society. So if you would like to attend this free event, this free luncheon, which includes free lunch, and also free books donated from major Christian publishers, and also just some excellent Christian publishers that are not very famous all over the world, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. Every pastor every year leaves with a heavy sack of books typically 20 or so books that I select personally from these publishers from the United States and the United Kingdom. And they have been donating these books to us for free since the 1990s when I began these luncheons on Long Island, New York. So I hope that you can come. That's Thursday, September 7th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Send your request to be put on the invitation list to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Paul Abbott of Our Goodly Heritage. And we are discussing rescuing lost souls from damnation and the lives of infants from the slaughter mill in Reynosa, Mexico, near the McAllen, Texas border. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Well, Brother Paul, before we take any of the listener questions that we have so far, I'd like to ask you about what you commonly encounter when you are evangelizing, particularly what you encountered during your recent trip in Mexico. Are you typically encountering a diehard Catholic? Because we know that Mexico is dominated by that religion, but also we know that there are many people globally who may have some kind of a nominal affiliation with Catholicism, but they are really not truly religious people who actually believe in the teachings of the Catholic Church. Many of them are perhaps even agnostic or atheist. But what do you typically encounter? Are these people Catholic? Are they atheists? Are they people of other religious groups? Tell us your experience.
For what we understood while we were there on this trip, many of the Central Americans that had come up, while they did have Catholic influence in their life, I believe many of them had been in some ways hurt by the Roman Catholic Church or disillusioned. And sometimes the very wild charismatic groups in Central America and South America also influenced them away from Roman Catholicism. Now, you have one error going to another error, but it does change their mindset a little bit and relieves them of some of the superstition. There were Roman Catholic priests or workers in the camp when we were there, and we paid no mind to that. We preached the gospel to them. We preached the gospel literally right to them as we preached to the crowd as they sat with the people. And so they were not happy about that, but we did preach that there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. We preached against the veneration of relics and statues and praying to saints or Mariolatry, very clear in our gospel attack on these false gods and idols. So we did have Roman Catholic influence there. Now, Mexico itself, you do have much more Roman Catholic influence still, especially in the area, in the towns. In the United States, you'll still have Roman Catholic neighborhoods that are very strict in their Roman Catholicism, and the priests will give them statues to put on their lawns as a way the Christians, or they'd call evangelicals, from coming and bothering them. Now, while we were in Reynosa, though, what we encountered as far as opposition was real signs and wonders, charismatic groups. On Saturday, when we were there, we pulled up to the sidewalk, and there was a charismatic group on the sidewalk. He was speaking in some false tongue, some unknown language that does not exist. He was talking about healings and this type of thing. He was stirring the people up to a frenzy. When we pulled up and got out of our vehicle, he was known to have said in Spanish, "The sons of the devil are here," referring to us. I immediately suited up, got our microphones ready, and in just a few moments, began to preach the gospel, and not just preach the gospel, but also preach against false doctrine, their false prophets, their false teachings. I began to attack their strange understandings of the gospel. They brought a horn out there, the shofar, and what they believe is when they blow that shofar, they believe that that will invoke the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be moved into doing something by blowing of the horn. So I preached against all of that nonsense, and it is interesting because they had built everything to such a frenzy, but while we were preaching, after so long, I don't know how long, 10, 15 minutes or something, all of a sudden, the leaders said, "We have to go." And they packed up and left.
Wow. Can you repeat what they were saying about something satanic? Can you repeat that?
Yes. So when we arrived, he said, "The sons of the devil are here," referring to us.
And he said that to the audience? He announced it, or just to you?
Yes, to the audience. He told the audience that the sons of the devil had come because he had already gotten word that we had been there preaching the gospel of Christ.
Wow.
Without all this nonsense. We definitely 1,000% believe in the sovereignty of God, but we've come with the free offer of the gospel and letting the Lord do the work in hearts. And so he was very much angered our presence there, and he let the people know that.
Well, that's quite an eerie confrontation, but thanks be to God, through his sovereignty and providence, they for some reason had the notion to pack up and get out of Dodge.
Yes, it happened quite quickly, and it reminded us of the spiritual warfare that's going on there between the Roman Catholics, between these type of charismatic groups that come in there, that they have so much lied to these people, fooled these people, whether it's superstition or telling them they must speak in some unknown tongue that they would know the Lord, or whatever it might be. We've come with the gospel. We believe the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and that's what we preached over and over again. And pleading with the people. Now, as a reminder, to many of you who might be listening who don't understand the concept of going to a place like this, they're just as depraved as the United States. They're just as depraved as Russians. Their depravity runs deep everywhere. And to remind you of that, even though you have people that don't have anything, that are hurting, that are hungry, that don't have a home, that have some hope in a nation they're trying to get to, even with all of that, when you confront them with their sin and confront them with the truth of the gospel, unless the arm of the Lord is revealed to them, even in all their hurting and anguish, they're not going to just turn to the Lord. And so that's a good reminder to us how much we've messed this thing up. Because, see, Chris, we could have got with the hundreds of them to sit down with us and pray a prayer, said some magic words, said an incantation, and shook their hand and told them, "You're saved," and walked on. And we would have so much confused this thing and made two full childs of hell when we knew it was the Lord that needed to do the work. It was the Lord that, as they read the tracts, as they read the Bibles, it was the Lord that would have to open their eyes. It would be the Lord that would draw them so they could come to us and ask us questions and seek out more information. And we were there long enough where there were some good gospel conversations. There were many that listened intently many times. And so we trust that sowing of the seed with the Lord.
Yeah, that's powerful stuff. We have an anonymous listener who has a question for you. The anonymous listener says, "I am a political conservative, and I'm very much opposed to illegal immigration into the United States. However, I am saddened by many of my friends who are also politically conservative and against illegal immigration, but they do not have a heart for these people at all. They are even professing Christians, and some of them even professing to believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace, but it appears that they have nothing but hatred towards these people. Isn't it true that although we should at the same time want people to be law-abiding individuals, we should always have a heart for evangelism and seek to want to bring the lost to salvation? If you could comment on this phenomenon that I think is more rampant in the church than we even realize.
Well, let's work backwards from this. First, let me say this. All of the people we encountered, to the best of our understanding, now I could be wrong, but to the best of our understanding, these are people who are in Mexico legally and who are trying to come to the United States legally.
Yeah, these are not predominantly Mexicans. These are other people in South America, perhaps Central America, and even other areas who are seeking to gain entrance into the United States through the Mexican border, but are attempting to do so in a legal manner.
Yeah, so let me just start with that. So that is that, and that would not matter here nor there whether or not we give them the gospel, but that is the groups that we went to because we knew they were there. We knew there were large amounts of them there. Now, as far as the other concept of what we would call an illegal immigrant, let me just start with this idea. Chris, there are people who have left their country, whatever the reason is, whatever the country might be, and gone through great pains to come to this country illegally, sometimes going through the desert, sometimes going over the rivers. And what's happened is many of those people have, of course, been arrested. But then there's others, Chris, that don't make it. They die in the desert. They find people during the summer times, especially dead on the roads or on the back roads there in the wilderness, or sometimes frozen to death. And then another point of this matter is this. There are Christian people, or even perhaps some we'd call humanitarian groups that are not supposedly Christian, they will go to these places. They will find a family that is dying of thirst. They will find someone who has children. They'll find a man who's been wandering for days, and they'll bring him water. They'll bring him food. They'll bring him a blanket. And, of course, these people that this anonymous message who understands his friends would believe that that would be wrong to do that. In fact, it's actually gone to court, and my understanding is the court threw it out, and the people who helped these people with water and food were found not guilty of breaking the law. We have some very strict commands in Scripture about feeding the stranger, about feeding the hungry, about the poor that will always be with us, by giving a cup of water in Jesus' name. So the love our neighbor clause sort of covers a lot of things when it comes to the humanity of lost and saved people alike. Now, to go just a step further with this, we have to also understand this, that we're all understanding of law-abiding. Of course, many of the folks that are discussing law-abiding, Chris, about not letting people over the border are the same ones that speed on the way to work every morning and perhaps don't wear a seatbelt all the time. That's also supposed to be law-abiding. but these people who are coming over, it suddenly becomes something less than human, that they try to come to the border, but yet because they did not come over the right way, we should not give them the gospel or we should not help them in any way. It's interesting because the commands to the Jews about hurting the stranger, about making their life difficult, there are many verses in the Old Testament that remind us that we are not to afflict the stranger. Now, there were different caveats as far as when they came into the land and certain things that folks who were not born of the children of Israel were to follow. But they were not to afflict these people, the widow, the stranger, the ones that came in. They were not to make their life difficult or make it harder. And so as much as we want to talk about rule of law, I think when it says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, then we see about love thy neighbor. I think somewhere in there we have to realize that these people need the gospel. These people are actually coming to a place that supposedly has the gospel. And if we have folks that are coming here for political reasons and all of that kind of stuff, you know, that's really a secondary issue. Since our job as Christians is to not just be political activists, and we should be active, but our job is to be Christians and to show light and to show love and to show generosity. While I was there, Chris, there's people in the camp, and I could show you their pictures, that they had nothing but the water we gave them, besides the water that came out of these tanks that was very untrustworthy. They offered me a cup of coffee. They gave me their water. They gave me their coffee. They gave me their styrofoam cup. The people offered us their food. Because it's taken advantage of. So here are these people with nothing giving us all of these things. It's fascinating because we had a president that said, you know, though these people from the southern border, they're coming here and they're not bringing their best. They're not sending. It's interesting because the people I met were professionals. We met business owners. We met people that had jobs and were in private schools. And I thought, wow, I don't know what the best is supposed to be. But these are people that want to come here and work. They want to do something. They want to have a new life. They were not just coming here hoping someone puts food on their table.
Well, praise God for that. We also have a message of somebody who you know very well, who you mentioned earlier on in this program, Max Graves, who has written a note. Thank you for inviting Brother Paul Abbott to tell this incredible story. It was one of the highlights of my life and ministry to accompany him along with my son Max the Third, who is 18 years old, on this trip. We were privileged to be able to preach the gospel on the streets probably 30 to 40 times during our trip. We look forward to opportunities in the future, should the Lord so orchestrate, and to join the team again to proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to those in need. Your servant for Christ's sake, Pastor Max Graves of Liberty Baptist Church in Norwalk, California. And I urge you to look up that website. And if Max Graves is hearing me right now, please send us your email address so I can announce give me your website address so I can announce it. In fact, do you have it, Paul? Do you have the website for Liberty Baptist Church of Norwalk, California?
Not in my mind, to quote it to you. But it is Liberty Baptist Church in Norwalk, California. In fact, I will say this. If I had to go anywhere on the West Coast and I had to join a church or live there, I would drive hours to be a part of this church. In fact, this church we have been able to covenant together, work together. Pastor Graves and I have co-labored together. He being a pastor, God has used him. He's a veteran man now in the ministry. In fact, we also labored together at the abortion mills and against abortion. Their church, God opened the door for them to begin the Liberty Life Center. It is a pregnancy center right across the street from the Planned Parenthood in Whittier, California, right across the street, a small street, right across the street. They minister to women. It is only gospel-centered, and it is a no-excuse abortion place where you can come, get help, get the gospel, do what they can to help you while you're pregnant, do what they can to help you after you have the baby, if you need help with the baby, all the way through your pregnancy and into the life of that child. They will do whatever it takes to help you. That is totally run by the Liberty Baptist Church, and then they have volunteers. In fact, Chris, you cannot volunteer to work in the Liberty Life Center if you do not have a handle on the gospel.
Amen.
Roman Catholics cannot come and volunteer. That's not allowed. It has to be folks that have come through. Even if they're not a member of the church, they want to help. They'll take them through a training program to make sure they understand the gospel, a biblical gospel. And it's amazing. It's amazing. I've been there many times. God has allowed me to spend time with them. And so, yes, what Pastor Graves mentioned, we call ourselves just sort of off the cuff here, the Gospel Response Team. And we are praying already about cities like Juarez, cities like Tijuana, places where we can find a local church in country, if we can, in Mexico first, so there's someone. We're not asking them to do anything for us. We're asking them, though, to just say, we will sign off on what you're doing. We agree with it. Perhaps provide an interpreter or two. Perhaps the pastor or elders will be able to come out with us We want to be able to leave. Our dear friend Al Bonbonda there in Reynosa, we left. He was excited. He was a part of what we did. He was passing out track. So we're hoping for the same type of thing in future trips.
Well, Pastor Graves sent me the website of the church where he is the pastor. That's Liberty Baptist Church in Norwalk, California.
Yes, sir.
And that website is lbcfamily.church. LB as in Baptist, C, family.church. So if anybody out there lives near Norwalk, California, you have friends, family, and loved ones in or near Norwalk, California, or you're visiting that area, please look up Liberty Baptist Church in Norwalk, California, lbcfamily.church. Now, what you just said about their outreach to women who perhaps were originally intending to murder their unborn child, or perhaps they never did intend that but are looking for an alternative such as adoption or what have you. I'm so glad that they have this rule that only Bible-believing Christians can be involved in that ministry. It reminded me immediately of my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who has for years been involved in outdoor evangelism in addition to all the other things he does, like debates and writing books and teaching at seminaries and teaching at Bible conferences. He has been approached, especially during outdoor evangelism, for instance, evangelizing Mormons in either Utah or the areas in Arizona where they are there's a heavy population of Mormons, or wherever he may be. He has been approached by people who have said, can we join you in handing out tracts? And his first question is always, what church are you a member of? And if they say, well, I'm not a member of any church, he will say, no, I'm sorry, you can't participate with us. He insists that someone is a member in good standing of a Bible-believing church for them to even hand out tracts with him.
Amen.
Amen. And we also have a listener. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks, have you ever heard of one of these drug cartel criminals receiving and rejoicing in a new birth in Jesus Christ during any evangelism efforts in those areas? I heard quite a while ago on Chris Arnzen's show, Pastor Jeremy Volo, who at the time was pastoring in Laredo, Texas, where two MS-13 gang members became Christians. And I remember that well as well, Arnie. Anything that you know of, brother?
When we were in Reynosa, we had heard of a relative. I did not meet the relative who was in the cartel, who is no longer in the cartel, who is serving the Lord. And then I have met others from places like Juarez and Tijuana in years gone by. I have not ministered in Mexico for some time before this event. So we are hoping that becomes something the Lord will open the door for, and we can see that type of thing happen where the Lord saves them. That's the goal. When we preach the abortion bill, we want to see that mother saved. We want to see the death squad saved. We want to see the cartel member saved. We want to see the gang member saved.
Amen. And in fact, what made that story even more interesting, because I clearly remember Pastor Jeremy's recounting of it, is that you had an initial gang member of MS-13 get saved, and the gang wanted proof that he was not lying about this conversion, because for some reason they were willing to give him a pass on being harmed in any way if he was truly converting to Christianity and doing this for a religious reason. Not that the gang themselves are, evangelical born-again believers, obviously, but they at least had some sort of respect for that. And one of the men that would visit this church in Laredo, Texas, to keep his eye on what was going on with the other former gang member, he heard the gospel and got saved.
Yes, absolutely.
So praise God for that. We're going to our final break right now. It's going to be much shorter than the other breaks. If you have a question, please send it in as soon as possible because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Why can't we see God? How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday? Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church in Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, this is President Biden. I want to encourage you to listen to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with Chris Arnzen. Now, as you know, as a lapsed heathen Catholic, I don't listen to it, but you should. Come on, man. What do you have to lose?
I just love that spoof from my friend, Pastor George Jensen of the Enola First Church of God in Enola, Pennsylvania. And thanks again for that hilarious recording. And we are now back with our final segment with our guest today, Paul Abbott, who is a Reformed Baptist evangelist and founder of Our Goodly Heritage. We are discussing a recent trip of his to evangelize the people on the border of Mexico and Texas. And if you have a question, send it in immediately at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, because we're rapidly running out of time. And we have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who has a question for you. What advice could you give those of us who desire to evangelize in such areas that would include some do's and don'ts? I know that there is probably not a cookie cutter way of doing this, but I would still like some bullet points that I could share with others that we could prepare for such a trip.
Well, if I understand the question right, is it to do something similar to what we did, Chris? Is that the question?
I assume, or just evangelism in general in an area that would be, I guess, out of your own familiarity and comfort zone.
Yes. First thing I would say is to understand that salvation is of the Lord, and that if you're going in there attempting to make people believe like you, to use salesmanship to sort of get them to come to your way of thinking almost by manipulation or force, which was what many of us did for years, then that's the wrong angle. We come with the gospel. If you can get good literature to help you, some good track, that's fine. But you want to give a clear presentation of the gospel. Always start with sin. Sin must be the entrance to the gospel, as far as someone to understand their condition, their loss, their standing before God, and then do all you can to answer their questions. But at some point, you'll have to leave them with what you've given them. You cannot force them into a conclusion, cannot force them into you. This is not a debate where you have to get the last word. You just need to make sure that you've done what you could to tell them the truth. Ultimately, you'll want to make sure whoever you spend time with is also praying, praying alongside you, that they're believing that the Lord is doing the work, whether you see the work done or not. If we go in obedience with that mindset, we won't come back discouraged. We won't come back wanting to quit immediately. We have to understand it's the Lord's work. And with that in mind, Chris, I just want to make mention, that is what we do. We travel the nation as the Lord opens doors, preaching in churches, primarily bringing the gospel to churches that may not allow the gospel to be preached. There are some Reformed churches even, Chris. They don't really want the gospel preached in the pulpit. They believe it's not for the congregation, but we bring the gospel in those churches, sidewalks. Of course, a lot of time at abortion mills around the nation, dozens of abortion mills around the country, we've been able to bring the gospel to and present the truth of life versus death. And I'm so happy my family travels with me quite often. My wife, Bridget, who, happy birthday to her, tomorrow's her birthday. We'll be celebrating 28 years of marriage this August, our 9 children. And for the most part, they've been able to travel much of the years on the road as I'm on the road. Very few times on the road I'll be alone or with one child, and sometimes flying to meetings by myself. But so this is a family ministry. This has become a ministry where they see how the gospel works. They see how ugly abortion is and how sin must be addressed with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, if you could clarify what you were just talking about as far as Reformed churches that don't want Reformed teaching in the pulpit, is that a phenomenon?
I'll repeat it. There are men who are good men that I respect, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is not one of these men that believes this way at all. He wants the gospel preached. But there are some of these men that they do not want you to come and preach what we would call a gospel message in their pulpit. They've actually told me that that's not their job, that basically they need to get that somewhere else outside of the pulpit, outside of the church. It's very unusual. It's very strange.
In other words, it's they look at the sacred desk as only for intellectual edification and instruction. Is that what you mean?
Yes. The late Gary North said that the average seminary student is just taught to give a lecture in the pulpit. It is not an intellectual exercise. It is the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. That is really a tragedy. I've had similar conversations with folks like that, much to my dismay. Having lunch or something, meeting with a pastor that I've never met before who is a member of a Presbyterian church or other church that claims to be Reformed, and I ask them what is their manner of preaching and their subjects and so on. I have heard on a couple of occasions, oh, I'm just there to edify and encourage and instruct the saints. I'm not there to evangelize the lost. That's for our people to go out, and when they evangelize people that they work with or people in their family over the dinner table or their neighbors, that's their job. We don't do that from the pulpit here. And I'm just blown away because they're wrongly assuming that every single person sitting in that pew, even if they've been members for 30 years, that they're regenerate.
Exactly. And let me just fix the story I told in just a moment we have left. So in Mexico, Pastor Alban Banda, his brother was in the cartel. The Lord saved his brother out of the cartel. He came home to the family, brought the gospel to the family. Pastor Banda was converted and now pastors in Reynosa. So that was a former cartel member, his brother, that brought the gospel to him.
Well, hallelujah. Praise God for that. Well, I'd like you to have 3 minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before they leave this program.
I just want to leave you with the idea that the Bible says that salvation is of the Lord and that we must trust Him to do the work in the hearts of lost men. We preach the gospel, we teach the gospel, we witness, and then we must leave it with Him and not try to force the issue, not try to manipulate or use sales tactics. That is one thing I would leave you with. The second is this: you can serve the Lord anywhere you are. Your community, your neighbors, your loved ones, your rest homes, the jails, anywhere you live, there's people there you can minister to. Show the love of Christ. Show hospitality and bring the gospel to those families in your area. Our website, www.ourgoodlyheritage.com. There's a place on there. I'd be happy to answer any questions, any follow-up. You can email me through ourgoodlyheritage.com, and I'd be happy to give any advice or counsel at all that someone might need.
Praise God. Thank you for that, and that all came through loud and clear. Thank you so much for being a superb guest today. I look forward to your frequent returns to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we go, I just want to remind all men in ministry leadership that I am having my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon on Thursday, April 7th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, about 20 minutes from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where I am sitting. And it's featuring our guest speaker, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, who is the founder and president of the Historical Bible Society, who will be giving a lecture on how we received our Bible from the original languages into English. And he is also going to have on display a portion of his very rare and priceless Bibles and books of antiquity and historic significance on display there, including a first edition 1611 King James Bible, a first edition Fox's Book of Martyrs that is illustrated, and a page from the first book ever printed, the Gutenberg Bible, and many more. So if you'd like to attend this event, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. You'll also be receiving many free brand new books donated by publishers across the United States and the United Kingdom. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.